Thank you, Jim.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's indeed a great pleasure to be with you this evening. It's always a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord. There's no place like it, absolutely no place. You know, Ezekiel says that if the watchman sees the enemy coming, in the 34th chapter, that and does not sound the alarm, that the blood of those are on his shoulders. But if he sounds alarm and lets the people know, the blood is not on his shoulders anymore, but on theirs. And but if they take not the warning and heed it, then they have to suffer their own consequences. But even if the watchman sounded the alarm or did not sound alarm, they still have to suffer the consequences for disobedience. And I think that we're all pretty much aware that we're living in the last days. You hear it almost in a lot of places, not just here in our church, but it's kind of common. But it seems to me that the average person does not have a clue to what to do about it. Peter says that Satan, like a roaring lion, is going around seeing who he can devour. And we're told in the Book of Mormon that Satan seeks to have us as miserable as he is. So that's his effort. That's the Satan's prime effort, because he knows what his judgment is. I don't know why he didn't repent, but he knows all that, but he didn't. Because he's Satan, I guess. But there are several things that I think we need to remember that's to come to pass in our day, as well as the bad as well as the good. And I might say that if you think that it's bad enough, just cheer up. It's going to get worse. It's kind of a startling sometimes when we take the account of listen to the email and see the great suffering that's going on among our own people. We hear daily it's just because of we have the communications today that was spoken of this morning that occupies a lot of our time. But we do have a knowledge, rather sudden, when a disaster or affliction or problems strike one of our brothers and sisters, even in far-off lands. Such as Brother Roy Kuhn being taken to the hospital because of his anemia and being tired. I don't know what that means to me, but I hope it is something I can live with. At any rate, Christ gave us a warning about what our day would be and what to do about it, and when some of the things that would point to that day in the 24th chapter of Matthew and also in the 21st chapter of Luke. They asked him when the end of the world was going to be, and he told us all things at that time, rather in just one chapter, the things that was going to transpire among the Jews, and among them that they're going to be scattered into all the world. And we can see that's happened, haven't we? But again, I think that the majority of even the Christian world doesn't understand how much of the world is the house of Israel. We pretty much think that the Jews are it. And now because we think that the Indians are part of it, they think we're a little bit off a rocker. But they are. It's quite evident that they are, because they fit the account of them very well. And the things that are transpiring indicates that they as well as we are permitted to live in a great land, a promised land. A promised land that God would bless. And he has blessed us. He said he would raise up a nation upon this land among the Gentiles. A great nation. But he also made a promise to them that as long as they served the God of this land, they would dwell here. And I hope you don't grow tired of me telling you these things, but because there's something that weighs heavy upon my heart that we remember why we're here, because God put us here. He put us here for a purpose. He brought forth the gospel in these last days in this land because he prepared it for that purpose. He prepared the Gentiles here, and he said he would give them, the Gentiles, the gospel, and they would take it back to the house of Israel. And we can see that that's happening. However, it's happening kind of slow in some respects, but in the other respects, it's happening in great, in a flood, really. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, it tells us that the Jews, like I said, would be carried away into all the land and scattered. Luke says that they would be scattered until the time of the Gentiles come to an end. Now, some of I've heard talk, even from this pulpit, that they were restored in their land, and I think it was, it was 1948, something like that, when the land of Jerusalem was set aside as a nation or a piece of land that was theirs. But I do not see it yet as today as a land that's not being trodden down. There's still contention and strife. And it's a good indication to me from all the prophecies. You know, Christ also said that, the prophets, that God would not do anything save he first told the people through the prophets, through his servants, the prophets. And I hope we're not waiting for a prophet in our day to stand up and say, tomorrow or next week, this is going to happen. Because he gave us the prophets. And I'm not saying that we don't have prophets today or we won't have prophets. But I'm saying he has told us. He has told us, and not really plain words in some respects, but yet in the Book of Mormon, it is real plain that the things that will happen. He told about the house of Israel because of their wickedness and because they disobeyed God. Even though they was given to their great-grandfather Abraham a land that he would inherit. And yet he never did. He lived there for a while, and his offspring lived there for a while. But after they left Jerusalem, Egypt, and taking back into that land, they disobeyed. They had a great kingdom for a while. There were several kings among them, but after the King David, in the case of Solomon, they was divided into two kingdoms, and from then on they went downhill pretty well. And in about 600 BC, they was scattered. They were gathered again about 25 years later. Some of them, the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin, was gathered back to the house of Israel where they dwelled there in that land for several years, during the days of Christ even. But again in 70 AD, they was conquered again. And they were scattered at that time. And until they began to gather back their land. And they was persecuted, we know, in many ways. But we don't know what happened to the other ten lost tribes. Nothing, there's no record we have, no account of what they have gone through. However, the Book of Mormon tells us that today when they be gathered back home, they will have their own record with them. And it will be the same as the Bible and the Book of Mormon. They will go together. But going back to Daniel, 24th chapter of Matthew's, it says about the, well, we'll start about the 11th verse. And there many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in holy place, wherefore shall he that let him understand. Let them that be in the Judea flee into the mountains, and him that be in the housetop come not down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and them that suck, give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. When then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor forever shall be. Except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no place saved. But for the elect saved, those days shall be shortened. Then it goes on to talk about being deceived, that some say, here is Christ or there are Christ. And we've seen that even in my day, that we've seen people who claim that they were Christ. And they did deceive many. They've led many off into forbidden paths. But like I said, over in Ezekiel, it said that Jews be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. In this time of great tribulation, and it says here, when you see the desolation of Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, there's various ways of reading that, I suppose. But I've heard it read that when you see the abomination of desolation, you stand in the holy place. And another place it says, when you see the abomination of Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, you get out. I go with the latter. He told him to get out. Paul in the Second Thessalonians tells us that what is this abomination of desolation? If I read through there, I feel it's the Antichrist. And we see that in our day everywhere we turn. That there are those who, even in the Christian world, did not believe that Christ was the Son of God. They can't deny that he was a very prominent man and a great prophet, perhaps. But they are even claiming that he did not speak but 18% of what is written accredited to him for speaking. And yet the Book of Mormon said that there was everything was written that was accredited to him, there would not be enough books to hold it all. So he said a lot more than what we have. We were told this morning about some the things that are in the world that will use up our time or destroy our time. And lead us away from God, that we don't have time for church. Paul also said in the last days that there'd be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so it would seem that we can see that there are many, many kinds of pleasure we can have. And it seems like they're inventing more every day, but it would seem to me that, as we said this morning, that our focus needs to be on God. That's our first focus. Everything else comes second. And we need to remember that we're not that important as individuals. God is important. And I would like to read to you the prayer that Christ offered for us. We see, talk about the Lord's Prayer, but this is a prayer that he offered for us in the 17th chapter of John. These words spake Jesus as he lifted up his eyes unto heaven, said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may be glorified in thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that hast given me out of the world. No, excuse me. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They are all mine, and all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, O Holy Father, keep thou thine own name. Keep thou thine own name, through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none have I lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And there he's speaking about Judas that betrayed him. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak unto in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not for the world, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, that thy word might be Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one as I am, be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. I am in them, and thou in me, and they that may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that thou hast also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and shall declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and thou in me. And he said there in a prayer that he asked the blessing to be on those who believed on those words which he spoke, or the teachings which he gave unto his apostles in those days. And that's us. He prayed for us who believe in his words. But we need to remember what he was asking for those men. That he would not take them out of the world, but he would keep them from the world. And so it is that we need to be careful and mindful in our own day to avoid the things of the world as much as possible. True, we have to we're in the world, and we have to make our daily living, most always, working for the world. And we depend upon the world for the income, for our finances, for our living, really. But we cannot partake of the world. Satan has got many devices to when he can lead us away and cause us to think that I don't need to go to church today. But what are we doing when we don't go to church? I know that there are many out there tonight that perhaps are seeing me here, and I pray that what I say might be a benefit to them as well. But the majority of people don't take the time to spend with the Word of God and to learn what is required of them. In the 21st chapter of Luke, I mentioned a while ago, he said, when you see these things coming, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again, he was talking to the house of Israel, but we are to be numbered with them, which I will read to you in a few minutes. Lift up your head and rejoice, for the redemption draweth nigh. And he went ahead in both the 24th chapter of Matthew and there in Luke and gave him a parable about the servant and the labor. I'll read you the one out of Luke here on starting the 29th verse. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. They shoot forth, and you see, and you know your own selves that summer is now at hand. And here is telling us we see these things going on, the earthquakes and the sea waving, roaring, and evil in all parts of the world, and persecution of those who believe in God for another thing. But said, when you see these things, you know that the tree, that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Which generation is he talking about? The generation when these things shall take place that we're seeing today. Even heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, that no man, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that was mentioned to us this morning, referring to overeating, I think, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. And also that day came upon you unawares. So we're being warned that day is coming, is close. I do not suppose that I'm going to see the end of it or the promise that's made myself, because I am pretty early in that generation it's talking about. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may not be maybe counted worthy to escape all these things, and shall come to pass and stand in that day. And now in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when it speaks of that parable, it's talking about the servant there. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, on that Lord the servant shall come a day when he looked not for him, an hour when he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint to him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so he says to be watchful, for we know not the day nor the hour when he will come, when these things shall befall us. We're told in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel about the king of the north, and all through Isaiah too it talks about the king of the north. In the last days he's going to come against Israel, not just, and when it said that there in 24th chapter here in Matthew, it said the armies, not one like it was in 70 AD, the just army of Rome. It said, when you see armies encompass Jerusalem, know that your desolation draweth nigh. And Ezekiel says it's going to be about five different kingdoms, five different armies, all gathered together, all through Asia and Africa. And they're going to come against Israel. And when they do, God's going to rise up and fight as in the day of battle, it says. He's going to take their part. But it also says something else there, that while he's doing this, and of course a lot of those prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel leave a little bit to your imagination maybe as to what he's talking about. Though in the Bible he doesn't talk particularly about our land as such, but he refers to it in many places. At that place he calls it a land that has neither walls nor gates. And he's going to go into that land to take a spoil. It would seem to me that today though we're scattered upon all the face of the earth as far as trying to promote democracy, we're leaving ourselves pretty much undefended, shall I say. And I think it looks to me like we're being weakened in a lot of respects. But be that as it may, no matter how strong we might be, if we become full of iniquity, or as it's called, ripened in iniquity, all the armies we might produce would not protect us. There's only one way to be protected, just one. That's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to believe these words in the books of Mormon and the Bible, to believe them, but most of all in the words what it says about believing in Jesus Christ. That is our only defense. It's told us many places there's only one name under heaven whereby salvation cometh, and that's Jesus Christ. In its second chapter of in the second book of Nephi, in the 12th chapter, I believe it is, 67th verse. But behold, I will speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And shall speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. It shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites. The Nephites shall have the words of the Jews. The Nephites shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. The lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. It shall come to pass that my people which are of the house of Israel shall be gathered to home to the lands of their possessions. And my word also shall be gathered in one. And they shall show, and I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people who are of the house of Israel that I am God. And I have covenanted with Abraham that I would redeem his seed forever. Now what was the covenant he made with Abraham? First, he gave him a land, a great land, a land where he didn't even live at that time, and a land which he didn't possess until his later days. But he also promised that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. They make him a great nation, and yet, you know, he only had one legitimate son, Isaac. He was born when he was nearly 100 years old. And down through Jacob, who had the 12 sons, which is now called the house of Israel. There are 12 of those tribes. And we only can account for one at this time. They were lost, it says, and it speaks that Christ told them, I must go to, and there'll be one in my vineyard. So he did go to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. In the third chapter of Jacob, he says he planted those sprouts in, or the named tame olive trees in three different places. He had the one there in Jerusalem, which was a tame olive tree. And he plucked off some tender branches and carried them in various parts of his vineyard. One, it says, he put in a very poor place. And another he put in even a poorer place, ground than that. It was just very poor ground. And a third one he planted in a very fruitful part of his vineyard. And it grew and grew and it developed fruit. They all developed fruit. And he took some of the wild olive branches and grafted them into the tame tree there in Jerusalem. And that's when the gospel went to the Gentile nations. You know, when Christ was there, he said, I come but to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. And he did. You remember the Samaritan woman that asked him for a blessing, and he told her that. But she also said, well, you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall on the floor. That's all she was asking, was a crumb. And he healed her child because of her faith. And when he sent his apostles out, he told them to go not into the Samaria or the lost or the Gentile nations, but to go into the lost tribes of the house of Israel. But after his crucifixion, he sent them out and said, you go into all nations of the world. And that's when the gospel went to the Gentile nations. That's when Paul and Peter went to the Gentiles. And it's been in the Gentiles' hands from that time on. But it also tells us in Revelation, as we all know, I think, that there'd be a time when it would be in the wilderness, be lost, it would be taken away from the world. But it would be restored again. And we know it's restored according to the time that he gave in 1830. Where? In the promised land. The promised land that we are permitted to live in. And we are doubly blessed, not only being able to live in that promised land, but to have the gospel that he gave unto us. It's beyond words. It's called a great and marvelous work and a wonder. The work that we're seeing done today. And what is that great and marvelous work? Not just to establish the gospel, be preached in all the world, but is to fulfill the promise that he made unto Abraham, that he would gather his children together. And it says here that he'd bring them back to the lands of their possession. I perhaps quit reading here, and I better pick it up again and go on. Starting with the 75th verse. And now behold, my brethren, beloved brethren, I will speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that you suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall all likewise perish. Because the words of which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. And it's told all through the Book of Mormon about the scattering and the persecution and the of the Lamanites upon this land by the Gentiles when they set up that great nation. But they have a promise, and this goes on to tell you about it. For except they shall keep the commandments of God, they shall likewise perish. And because of the words which have been spoken, ye not suppose that the Gentiles will be utterly destroyed. For I will say unto you that many of the Gentiles, as will repent, are the come to people of the Lord. As many of the Jews that will not repent shall be cut off. For the Lord covereth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe on his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. And now I would prophesy somewhat concerning the Jews and the Gentiles. And after the book of which I have spoken shall come forth and be written unto the Gentiles and sealed up again of the Lord, there shall be many which shall believe the words that which are written, and they shall carry them forth unto the remnant of our seed. And then shall the remnant of our seed know concerning us how that we came out from Jerusalem, that they may be descendants of, and they are the descendants of the Jews. And the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be declared among them, wherefore they shall be restored unto the knowledge of their fathers, and also the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which was among their fathers. And then shall they rejoice, for they shall know that it is a blessing unto them from the hand of God. And their scales of darkness shall begin to fall from their eyes, and many generations shall not pass away among them, save they shall be a white and delightsome people. It shall come to pass that the Jews which are scattered shall begin to believe in Christ, and they shall begin to gather in upon the face of the land. And as many shall believe in Christ shall also become delightsome people. It shall come to pass that the Lord God shall commence his work among all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, to bring them about the restoration of his people upon the earth. And with righteousness shall the Lord God judge the poor, reprove with equity the meek of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. For the time speedily cometh, the Lord shall cause a great division among the people, and the wicked will be destroyed, and he will spare his people, yea, even if it be that he must destroy the wicked by fire. And the righteous of his girdle shall be righteous of his girdle of his loins, and the faithful of the girdle of his reins. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And shall not hurt in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Wherefore the things of all nations shall be made known, yea, all things shall be known to the children of men. And there is nothing which is secret that shall, save it be revealed. There is no work of darkness which, save it be made known, may manifest in the light. And there shall be nothing be sealed upon the earth, save it be loosed. Wherefore all things which have been revealed unto the children of men shall at that day be revealed. And Satan shall have no power over the hearts of the children of men for no more for a long time. And now, my beloved brethren, I make an end to my saying. He has promised us a great time and a great opportunity, a great time of rejoicing, but only if we fulfill the, the words that he said, that we must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come out of the world. We cannot be part of the world, though we be in the world. We cannot be part of it. Might go to the third chapter of, in the ninth chapter of 3 Nephi, which speaks about our land. Here it's speaking about the time when the the Book of Mormon was to come forth and be preached in all the world. It said, when these things come to pass, and thy seed shall begin to know these things, it should be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced. That's all in 3 Nephi, 9th chapter, and the 93rd verse I'm starting to read, page 663. Has already commenced unto the filling of the covenants which he had made unto his people, who are the house of Israel. And when at that day shall come, it shall come to pass that the kings shall shut their mouths, and for that which they have not been told shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. For in that day for my sake, saith the Father, shall the Father work a work which shall be great and marvelous work among them. And there shall be among them who will not believe it, even though a man shall declare it unto them. But behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hand, and therefore they shall not hurt him, though he be marred because of them. Yet I will heal him, for I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the coming of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, who am Jesus Christ, whom the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto Gentiles, and shall give unto them power, they shall bring them forth unto the that the word bring forth unto the Gentiles, and it shall be done, even as Moses said, they shall be cut off among my people who are of the covenant. And my people who are the covenant of the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles. Yea, in the midst of them is a lion among the beasts of the forest, and a young lion among the flocks of the sheep. If you go through, both treadeth down and teareth to pieces, and none can deliver. Their hands shall be lifted up upon their adversaries, and all their enemies shall be cut off. Yea, woe be unto the Gentiles except to repent. For it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Father, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and will cut off thy cities out of thy land, and I'll throw down thy strongholds. And he's talking about us. He's talking about us. That he's going to destroy our cities. And separate them, cut them off. And he's going to throw down our strongholds. And I'll cut off wristcrafts out of thy hand, and then shall have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and I shall no more worship the works of thy hands. He's talking about us. That we're not going to have any glory or joy in the works of our hands. And that we look at them to say, look what I have done. I have not done anything. God has done it all. And I need to give him all the credit. He said, I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy cities. In those days, the grove was where they worshiped. He's going to pluck up their groves and destroy their cities. And it come to pass that all lyings and deceivings and endings and strifes and priestcrafts and whoredom shall be done away. So come pass the faith of the Father that at that day whosoever will not repent and come unto my beloved Son, whom I will cut off, them will I cut off among my people, O house of Israel, and will execute vengeance and fury among them, even as upon a heathen, such as they have not heard. And going into the 10th chapter, said, "But if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. It shall come into the covenant and be numbered among the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and it shall assist my people who are the remnant of Jacob. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may see build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall assist my people, that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon all the face of the land, unto the New Jerusalem." You know, as I read through that, I remember reading back in our encyclopedia at home about the pilgrims when they came here in about 1620 or so. They felt like they was going to build a New Jerusalem. That was their hope and their aim. And they came with one desire, to be free, to worship God. True, they did not have the fullness of the gospel at that time, but they were reaching out for it. And they prepared a land that we have inherited, a heritage that has been great unto us. They formed the peace and the liberties that we enjoy, because God put it in our hearts to do so. He formed this land. God did. Because what they formed was unknown to the world at that time. It's possible that they had a little bit of understanding of what God had prescribed unto the house of Israel, that they should have no kings, they should have judges and things like this. They might have understood that, and that's what they were seeking for. But they laid the groundwork for this great nation of ours, and we need to be appreciative of what they did. But we also need to use that liberties to the glory and the honor of God. Though they did not really receive or enjoy the New Jerusalem, it is promised that it will be upon this land. "And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also be in their midst, and then shall the work of the Father commence at that day when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. Verily I say unto you, at that day the work of the Father shall commence among all dispersed of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father has sent laid out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among the dispersed of my people, with the Father to prepare a way whereby they may come unto me, that they may be called on the Father in my name. Yea, then shall the work commence with the Father among all nations, preparing a way whereby his people can be gathered into the land of their inheritance. And they shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go out with haste nor by flight, but will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be their rearward, and then that which is written shall come to pass. Sing, O barren, thou hast not bare, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with the child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife." He's telling us there that to be more of the ungodly, of the the followers of Satan, if I might put it that way, than there are of those who follow Christ. "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy maker, thy husband, the Lord of hosts, is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be called. For Lot hath called thee as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith my God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." I think that one of our failings sometimes is that we want things happen now. I want to see it now. And we've been told not to run before God. You know, I hope Brother Nicholas will forgive me for referring to something he told me one time. He was a young man when they began to work on the temple here. And he believed with all of his heart that it would be done. But when it failed, he was devastated. He said, if God told us to do it, why didn't we do it? And one day he asked his mother, and she said, I don't know. But one day he was reading just what I read to you here in the 9th and 10th chapter of Matthew, and he said, oh, that's it. It was the wrong time. It was the wrong people. He wasn't ready. He was running a little bit before God. So we need to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. God has prepared a way when these things can happen. And the promises are great. I'm sure that some of us will have to suffer persecution. But we won't be the first to suffer persecution because of our testimony of Jesus Christ. But let us all remember that that's the only one that we can look to for our deliverance. Only one. That is God and His Son, Jesus Christ.